everyone, and welcome to episode 75 of season 11 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we curry our way through the 2001 award-winning HBO miniseries Band of Brothers, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today to finish off this week is Travis Bow of Minute of Thieves and Real Comic Heroes. Welcome back to the show for yet another season, Travis.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Oh, always fun having you on. All right, so let's start with the basics. What is your history with of Brothers, if there is any history besides today?
I had definitely watched this series once, you know, once all the way through before. I think in the era of like Blockbuster by mail, or when Netflix was, you know, DVDs. So somewhere, and I know that because I had trouble getting like the final disc or something. Like, I think it had like the final two episodes. And so I ended up, you know, using like the Pirate Bay or something, probably the Pirate Bay, to get those final episodes, and then got like, you know, a notice a couple days later in the mail from, you know, my internet provider, like, hey, we noticed you illegally downloaded these episodes. So like, that's kind of my memory of watching this show. And then as I watched it, I rewatched the whole series about, you know, within the last month. Cause we also had the Olympics going on here in the last 2 weeks. So I watched the show in and around that. But I remembered mostly like the first episode when they're training, and then like the last episode, and then a few little like pinpoints throughout the series, you know, seemed familiar, but definitely really enjoyed it this time around. Not that I didn't the first time, it's been long enough that I've kind of forgotten. But I also, as I watched through the series this time around, I bought the book by Stephen Ambrose, so I'm looking forward to reading it. It just arrived yesterday, so.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's really cool. Yeah. I've quoted excerpts from it. And who knows? Okay. Maybe over the next 3 days we will have things to discuss. Maybe not.
Okay.
I won't give that away. We shall wait and be surprised. Either way, it could be that I'm just pulling your leg, and that we have nothing to discuss in these three episodes.
Right.
That are in the book, but you never know.
Right.
It could happen. It could happen. Okay. So, and all in all, you're happy that you rewatched it, I hope.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Excellent.
How do you find doing this show compared to doing, you know, your previous seasons doing movies? Like, does it kind of just feel the same? Cause this is a very cinematic show. Does it feel the same, or does it feel different?
It feels the same, except for the fact that it's really long.
Right.
Meaning that the choice to do it 5 minutes at a time was because I didn't want to be doing this for 2.5 years, even though I love it. There's no question about that. But just thinking about the way that the clock moved when you're watching this, you know, so after you finish the first two episodes, the first two parts, you know, I was already done. So like, basically now I'm doing another, it's as if I'm doing five movies at one time from that perspective. But, but on the other hand, you know, they develop the characters a lot more than we're used to when you watch a movie, because in a movie, you don't have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
As they say, six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned though, I'm loving doing it, and the interviews have just been amazing.
Oh, good.
The interview at the beginning of this part with the writer of part six was just great. You know, he talks so much about the things that that go into writing an episode like this. And
Yeah.
next week everyone's gonna be able to hear the closing interview from this one, which is the grandson of Dark Row. So
Oh, wow.
yeah. So
Very cool.
I'm getting very interesting perspectives on everything that that has gone on with the men of Band of Easy Company and stuff like that. So
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it from that perspective.
Good.
That being said, we are beyond the halfway point here, but I still don't know yet what my next season is going to be, because this one has sort of thrown me for a loop.
Sure, you have plenty of time.
No, of course I do. I'm not
Yeah.
concerned about. I have ideas, and like sometimes I'll come up with something. I'll say, oh, that's what I want to do for season 12, and then I'll be like, well, I don't know. It is giving me more time to doubt myself as to what I want.
Yeah.
Episode 75 begins with Renee awaiting more wounded, and ends with Renee and Doc having a moment that gets interrupted.
I couldn't remember because it's been now several weeks since I watched, the previous, this episode, and then, what came right before this. So I couldn't remember what she was sort of reacting to.
Well, we were having the airdrop of supplies.
Oh,
And we saw it that and the planes were shooting at the men of Easy also,
Yeah.
because they thought that they were in
Yep.
the enemy. And then
Right.
then it cut to her, and we saw a quick shot of Renee, and then that's how it ended. So
Okay.
this episode begins with a shot of Renee still looking out, waiting for someone to show up. And I noticed now,
Yeah.
more than I did the last time, you see that not just that there's blood on her sleeves, but her vest is also has like these black blotches on them, which my
Yeah.
assumption is blood. And she's just she's I guess she's used to it.
Yeah.
And then she takes a deep breath and walks back inside the church. And then we see the Jeep rushing towards rushing through the town that has been obliterated, basically. And what's really cool is you can see a lot of the parachutes along the way of the supplies that have been
Yeah.
dropped.
It's impressive to get eight soldiers to a Jeep. I paused it and counted how many people were, riding, and I noticed, like, as the Jeep was kind of trucking through town, like, I'm sure throughout this series they do it a lot, but it feels like they have almost made this like a black and white movie or, show or whatever. But as they drive through, like, there's little hits of like red pop up, or like a little fire off in the corner that stands out. So it's almost like I'm sure they've color manipulated this to really, tone down the brightness and everything, and just kind of gives it that. And I feel like Saving Private Ryan had the same sort of,
Yeah, it's pretty much become a
visuals, but
standard for World War II movies nowadays
yeah.
that they try to dilute the colors.
Yeah.
And did you notice what a lot of the red is? The red is some of the parachutes, meaning that there were white parachutes and red parachutes. I don't know what the difference is.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it, I didn't think it was parachutes. It makes, I don't know. I thought it was like flags, like propaganda
No,
flags, but I
there are
guess,
flags also. There's
yeah.
a flag of I think surprisingly Belgium. You see
Okay.
those, but you also see what looks like that is definitely parachutes, because they have the strings attached to them, and
Oh,
there's
yep.
something on the ground.
Yep, I see it.
So yeah. Again, I don't know the difference between red and white
Probably
parachutes.
medicinal
Maybe
supplies, maybe, is indicated with red. That would make sense.
that actually would make a lot of sense. You're I didn't think about that perspective. Yeah, and white is supplies to surrender. I don't know. Not really sure. Okay. And so the Jeep just goes through this town, and we see all the townspeople, are walking around talking with some of the soldiers. We see soldiers carrying a lot of the supplies, like boxes of supplies along the way also. But it's just really funny that all these supplies just dropped in different places in the town. It's like, let's go on a scavenger hunt to go try and find all of the all of the supplies that you can find. Okay, go find me a package of medicine. Go find me a package of bandages. Go find me and whatever team comes first wins the prize.
Have you talked about like when we see him carrying like two boxes of the boxes that he's carrying? Like, have you talked about K rations or
We talked about K
any of
rations, I
that?
believe, during Saving Private Ryan, but
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
because there was a point where you have people eating these humongous deli sandwiches, and in the back you have boxes that say K rations on them. Those are
Okay.
not the K rations. But yeah, Doc is scrounging around. I mean, that's what he's been doing this entire episode. We've now talked about this is our eighth foray into this into part six, and in every single one of them he's scavengering and scrounging, trying to get whatever he can, whether it's medical supplies or scissors or
Scissors, yeah.
or in this case carations. I mean, is there something you want to say about carations? You're more than welcome to.
I was just gonna read off like the what was
Go
in
ahead.
them,
Feel
but
free.
if you've,
People probably have forgotten since Saving Private Ryan.
sure. So the in I looked up like yeah, I looked up K rations, and it's easy to find like another example of this exact like label that he's on the boxes that he's carrying. So the weight matches up exactly. So this would be like the 1944 or the late 1944 K ration standard issue, would have contained a breakfast unit. It would have had 12, individually, sort of packed meals. One was a breakfast unit, which would have contained ham and eggs or veal, biscuits, oatmeal, cereal, fruit bar, instant coffee, and sugar. Dinner would have been processed American or Swiss cheese, pork, luncheon meat, biscuits, candy, a candy bar, caramels, lemonade, fruit drink, powder, and sugar. A supper unit, which is a pork or beef loaf, some kind of sausage, chicken pate, biscuits, chocolate bar, bouillon powder, sugar, and then, things like cigarettes, gum, matches, toilet paper as well. So kind of the standard things you think of when,
But it's interesting. You mentioned like ham and cheese. You'd think that it would be more, like spam type of stuff, as opposed to, like I don't know how cheese would survive, from that perspective. I don't know. Very strange. But okay, maybe. I mean, I know that we. I'm trying to think of when we were talking. There was an episode. A few months ago, where they were eating like cheese whiz type of stuff, so maybe that was, or maybe that was something that they just found when they were in France. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. I think someone
Okay,
finds that
could be,
somewhere.
but again, to have slices of cheese sounds a little strange. With when when there's no refrigeration.
Well, it could be like heavily processed, like,
Yeah,
who
I
knows
don't
if
know if I
it's
would want to,
what,
worry into that.
cheese
Yeah,
in
because
quotation
when
marks,
you're out in the field, you got to be careful what you eat, because you have to have an entrenching tool with you if you really need it, and you need to be able to quickly dig that little ditch if if something is off. So yeah, so Doc Rowe is we and it's a great shot because we see it through the window of him
Yeah.
because he's looking at Renee, who's dealing with someone who's I guess you would say dying, if not have already died. And then he
Right.
comes into the room where she is, and you see there's a lot more hustle and bustle, and she's moving along. She's ready for action to go to deal with more wounded that are coming in. And then Doc rushes out of there and puts the stuff down in order to come and help her. And they're in like an altar room, in the church.
Yeah.
And
I like the architecture in this space. It reminds me a lot of the St. Bartholomew the Great Cathedral in London, which they used in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. And I almost wondered, like, could this have been the same filming location? So I tried looking up like where this was filmed. Got really like mixed results in finding like trying to find this location and then like finding search results that are talking about, well, they're in this cathedral, but in real life the aid station was in more of like a community center, not this church, so it was like hard to find, I think I found that this physical, building that they shot in, I think is like a church in Resham, but that could be, or
no.
based on, sorry.
Again, a lot of it, and Bruce McKenna told us at the beginning of in his interview that a lot of this stuff is added for dramatic license, I guess you could say. Well, if I remember correctly, what he said was is that he read that the script once, or that no, sorry, couldn't have read the script. He wrote it. He read the synopsis of what he was supposed to deal with once, and that was it. And like didn't even go into the book after that or anything like that. Because he wanted it to come from a different place. So basically we hear them scream medic, someone give us a hand here, help, help. And Doc is there to go help. And once again we get a very gruesome shot of someone who's been wounded.
Yeah, this one's rough when he's reaching
Yeah.
up inside the guy to looking for the artery
He goes,
to,
this one through here
pinch it off.
now. And then there's a little bit of French spoken between Renee and Doc Rowe, who, according to his grandson, I don't think he knew French, but whatever. Or maybe he knew a little bit of French. I'm not sure about that. And then, as you said, they're trying to find the artery. I mean, they do something very interesting that we also saw in Saving Private Ryan, where they're using their hands to try and clear away the blood as much as possible to see where the blood is coming out. And in Saving Private Ryan, they were pouring water over the wound of Wade when they were doing that. But still, it's a great effect. Because they're wiping away the blood and then more is just coming out, obviously. At this point, we see that there's a really big wound, and blood just starts splitting out of this guy's mouth while they're doing this. And Doc Rowe goes, the artery, gotta find the artery. And they're doing all they can to try to stop the bleeding with the whole thing, but they both realize that there isn't much of a chance of them doing something here, but they're doing what they can. And we see even more blood coming out of the guy's mouth as he's basically choking on his blood also. And then Renee calls over Anna, the other nurse, to come try and help. and she calls her again, and you know, at that point they just realize that there isn't much else that they can do, and as much as they're trying, they see that the soldier just didn't make it or is not going to make it, you know, but I love the look between Anna and Dak Rowe as he has his hand, you know, trying to clamp the artery, and she's just looking at him. I guess you could sort of say in despair, realizing that there isn't much that you can do here. And then, you know, and then everything stops because they realize that's it. You know, this guy just didn't make it.
Yeah. I love even more once they've like stopped working on the guy, you know, he kind of throws the towel, like literally throws in the towel, and stands up, and he's frustrated and angry. But then they share another look, and the look, like, she does a great job. And like, it hit me in this moment watching the scene that, like, these two, you know, people, Renee and Eugene, are probably early to mid 20s, and they are experiencing more, you know, in this like wartime than I've ever had to deal with. Like, it's so much, you know, it just hit me, like, watching it, like, when you send these people to war, or in this case, you know, a nurse who jumps in to help, you know, the war effort, like, you're throwing so much on these people that they shouldn't have to deal with at this point, but they are so, you know, mature for this time to just handle these problems. I mean, he's literally got his hand inside this guy trying to save his life, you know, and it's incredible. And she sells that, like, in this look, you know, to each other. It's just incredible. So I was really kind of taken by that.
And again, it's another callback to Saving Private Ryan, because, you know, there's a point where during the beach scene, Wade is trying to save somebody, and, you know, they're finally able to stop the bleeding, and then the guy gets shot in the head, and more blood, and he just takes the bandage and just throws it and says, "Give us a fucking chance."
The actor playing Roe, reminds me a lot of Giovanni Ribisi as Wade. It just felt like I was seeing, you know, the same character almost in this episode. So it was, I really like Doc Rowe throughout the series, so I was really glad that I got some Doc Rowe minutes, because I don't think I gave you any, you know, indication of, like, what, you know, minutes I'd want to talk about.
I think it was
about,
more so. Related to recording time. And again, then Anna just walks away. And Doc and Renee continue to have their moment, just staring at one another. And then the shot changes, and they're outside, and they're, you know, sitting among the rubble.
Have you talked about Renee Lemaire?
Nope, not at all.
Oh, okay. I looked up, you know, who this character was kind of based on, and says that Renee Lemaire, I mean, this, you know, character in this show, she's just called Renee, but, you know, obviously she's based on Renee Lemaire, who says in December of 1944, she returned to Bastogne to visit her parents and was trapped when the Germans launched their Ardennes offensive on 16th of December. And then alongside with the nurse Augusta Chewy, who Augusta, they kind of turned into Anna. I saw an article, or I looked up how to pronounce Augusta Chewy's last name, because she's from the Congo, the Belgian Congo at the time. And it literally said, you know, Chewy, similar to how you'd pronounce, you know, Chewbacca, like, so, but it's Chiwy is the spelling. So it, you know, but it would be pronounced Chewy or Chewy. So, but yeah, so she volunteered at an aid station for the American 20th Armored Infantry Battalion And then on December 21st, or that's when she volunteered for that station. In a commendation request from Battalion Surgeon Jack T. Pryor, Lemaire was described as cheerfully accepted the Herculean task and worked without adequate rest or food, and that she changed dressings, fed patients unable to feed themselves, gave out medications, bathed and made the patients more comfortable, and her very presence among those wounded men seemed to be an inspiration to those whose morale had declined from prolonged suffering. I won't go into what happens first, since
Right.
that will.
We'll keep that.
Yeah, but I did want to, if you'll permit me, I did want to also look into Augusta Chewy, who.
Sure, of course. But first, I wanted to say that
Yeah.
from what I remember, there is no proof that Renee and Doc Rowe ever met.
Right.
This is
Little
all
bit
a
of
figment
a.
of Bruce McCann's imagination,
Yeah, little bit of
but
a.
works really well.
Yeah, creative license there.
Okay, so Chewie was captured by the Empire, and
That's right.
Han or Han Solo, however you want to pronounce it,
Yep.
eventually helped him get out.
She owes a life debt to Renee. Yeah.
That's it.
Let's see. Yeah, she's kind of a World War II badass. She attended the civilian and military attended two civilian and military casualties with her uncle, a doctor, until the 21st of December, when she volunteered to serve as a nurse at an aid station for the 20th Armored, same unit as Renee. She worked at the aid station in the Rue Neufchâteau, and even donned an army uniform in order to go out into the field to collect the wound while under fire.
Wow.
Then it does talk about kind of what happens to this aid station in the coming bit. But I will say, maybe you should share her story, once that happens. But yeah, she survived. So, after the war, she worked at a hospital treating spinal injuries. She married a Belgian soldier and had two children. And then it talks about she rarely spoke of her experiences after the war, and it was assumed in some historical accounts of the battle that she had died there. But then British historian Martin King, while researching his book, Voices of the Bulge, finally tracked her down in her retirement home near Brussels, and then was able to bring her story kind of to public attention. And then what was the other thing? Oh, there's a documentary apparently. It's called in 2015 documentary came out about Chewie entitled Searching for Augusta, the Forgotten Angel of Bastogne. So, which won an Emmy Award for historical
Oh,
documentary.
wow.
So, yeah. So I tried looking that up. I was going to try and watch it. It's been on Netflix, but isn't currently available anywhere. So it's kind of one of those that, if I see it, anytime in the future, or see it available, I'll definitely watch it
Right.
because
You don't want to get
I'm kind
another
of
letter
in.
from your
Right. Yeah. I'll hang on real quick. Let me go to the Pirate Bay real quick.
ISP.
You know what? I was thinking this when I saw not available on any, streaming services on. I think documentaries should automatically be available at your, library. Like I use Hoopla for all my, library stuff like that. But I just think they should, anything educational documentary purposes should be freely available. But that's just my unrelated tangent.
I agree, but you and I don't make those decisions.
Yeah.
I know we'd like to.
But
Certain things are just beyond our grasp.
yeah.
But yeah, at this point, the two of them have an interesting conversation outside, and Doc Rowe wants more information about about Anna. And it makes you wonder, is it because he's like a Louisiana boy wondering, how
Somewhat, how does someone who looks like her end up
exactly.
in this situation? Yeah, I think is what he's, that struck me as odd too. It seemed like a weird thing to focus on. But maybe, yeah, I don't know what it's trying to tell us about Eugene. Like, is it trying to say, well, that's weird that there's a black person here, or is it more just like, I need to think about something else? And because it like when she pops up into the scene, he doesn't like we don't see him like react to like, oh, I'm
That's right.
surprised that there's a black lady here. But so yeah, it's a weird thing to then, when we take a beat and we're outside and they're catching their breath, like, yeah, for him to just like, bring it up, yeah, it struck me as odd. I didn't know
Yeah,
what
because
they
like
were
he basically says, "Well,
going
where'd
for
she come
there.
from?" And then, I mean, Renee's response is the black. No, he, and then like Renee just looks at him and he goes, the black girl, and he goes, she says, oh, the Congo. So how'd she get here? Just like me, she came to help. So I do like the succinct responses, because basically what Renee is saying, it doesn't matter who you are. Here we have someone who has I guess medical expertise from the Belgian Congo that said, all right, I'm gonna go to Belgium to be able to help out. That type of thing, which is great if you think about it from that perspective. I like that. And then they speak a little French together, and then once again Eugene is just looking at her, and she looks back at him and goes, what? And he goes, your hands. She goes, my hands? And then he goes, you're a good nurse. No. He says, I never want to treat another wounded man again. I'd rather work in a butcher shop. He says, but your touch calms people. That's a gift from God. He says, no, it's not a gift. God would never give such a painful thing. So I gotta say I like this conversation because it brings up different things that you wouldn't normally think of in this type of situation. Because he's talking about the fact that, okay, she's got these healing hands, that type of thing. And he's impressed by the fact that she has these healing hands. And she doesn't she scoffs it off because she's basically saying to herself, well, it doesn't make a difference. I'm doing what I need to do. I don't want to do this, but I'm here to help, and that's what's going to be. So
I like what she says about, she wishes she could, be doing something else, working in a butcher shop or, so it's like she has this gift, but it's kind of a curse. It's like because she can care for people, she has to experience the worst things in the world. She's got to be there while some guy's guts are on the table,
right.
but that's what she's, qualified to do it, so yeah, it's a burden, but there's she has no choice, not that,
No, she's put herself in this
and I don't mean
situation
that
where
as
that's
like,
what she wants to do. So, that's why she doesn't have a choice. Not the fact that she doesn't have a choice is because she has chosen to be there to do this type of thing. That type of thing. But I really like the that they give us these few minutes of the two of them just sitting there talking, in the middle of all the chaos. And I also like the little touch that she once again pulls out some chocolate.
I tried to find, 'cause I don't know, I don't think that's what they would have had like in the K rations. It seems more like it has a, an actual, it's like it doesn't have like a military wrapper on it. It seems more like an actual, branded sort of thing. I think I've see a crown on the label, real subtle little crown. I tried looking up Belgian chocolate with a crown on the label. Didn't really f I found one called like Jacques, Jacques chocolate or something like that, and it but didn't have this, it didn't look the same or anything, so I doubt that's what it was. But yeah, I don't know. I just thought I might be able to get
I
somewhere
just
with
think the
that, but
Renee's a chocoholic.
didn't
Maybe
really.
that's it.
But
Yeah, she gave him chocolate before.
yeah.
She happens to have this overabundance of chocolate. I don't know where it all came from.
Yeah. Well, isn't
They're
Belgium
known
like
for
isn't
it.
aren't they known
They're yes, but
for
not
being a
necessarily in the
chocolate?
middle of war.
No, but I feel like,
They were
there's
exactly. They were probably
she
not
found a
producing more
stash,
chocolate at this point.
No. Yeah. This wasn't fresh off
Yeah,
the factory floor, but
that's right. And then they
she found a
hear
stockpile.
a truck getting closer, and we hear someone scream out, "Nurse, nurse, we need some help over here." And she just jumps up. Doesn't matter that she's in the middle of this conversation. She runs over to go help,
Yeah.
and we hear someone say, "Guy's got a guy shot through the stomach." She goes, "How bad is it?" And then she says, "Okay, get this one in first." And Doc is just staring at her. And then he picks up his helmet and his bag to come over and help. And he starts walking over to where she is helping one of these wounded guys away. And that's how this 5-minute segment ends. So is there anything else you wanted to mention about this segment that we might have missed?
One quick thing. I was looking through my notes to see if I missed anything. And back to Augusta Chewy, she was knighted
Ooh,
in
so
June of
she's
2011.
Sir Chewie.
Yeah.
There,
Chewy
wow,
finally got her
that
medal.
is true. Very good. I didn't even think about that. You're quick thinking there. Very good. All right, so today's segment is Band Brand, where my guests will give their top five fictional movie bands. So, Travis, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
I'll start with an honorable mention with Figrin Dan and the Modal Nodes, since we were talking about Star Wars. But my number five is the Soggy Bottom Boys from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Number four, Mouse Rat from Parks and Rec.
Well, that's a TV
Oh, we're
show.
not allowed to do
Okay, fine.
TV. This is
Theoretically
a
not,
TV show
but
that we're talking about, so I think it should count.
nah, this is not a TV show. This is a limited series. There's a difference, or it was known as a mini series at the time. So, but okay, I'll let it go. I'll let it
Okay.
go. If you
Yeah,
insist.
because if it doesn't count, then the rest of my list is going to be no, number three, I have I don't remember the name of like the music group, but when in The Queen of the Damned, like I remember listening to that soundtrack. So like the Vampire Lestat, from Interview with a Vampire, like in that book and in that movie, he's a, rock star. And I remember the soundtrack to that movie having a lot of like decent, music of the time.
Okay, fair enough.
Number two, a movie that I kind of came back around semi-recently and fell in love with the music, Josie and the Pussycats.
So many people have this on their
Okay.
list. I'm so shocked.
It's a great, like I downloaded the, the soundtrack for the movie, and it, of course it's different bands, as Josie and the Pussycats, but like all the songs that are listed as being Josie and by Josie and the Pussycats, like they're all really good. So yeah, highly recommend it. But number one is Drive Shaft from Lost.
Aha, okay. Makes sense. Yeah, that would have ruined it if I wouldn't have allowed the TV show.
Yeah.
Now I understand why. All right. So now we will play the daily game of name that World War II movie. So
Yeah.
I'm gonna randomly choose a World War II movie, and you have to I'll give you some hints, and you have to try and guess what that movie is.
Okay.
So let us spin the wheel and see what we get. And around and around and around the wheel goes. And let's see what we're gonna come up with for Travis. Do you know a lot of World War II movies, or not really?
I think I've seen a fair amount, and I've spent some time this last year watching a lot more war movies, some World War One and World War Two. So,
Because of me.
just kind of happened to be. I'm in that, like, for being someone who doesn't have kids, I'm in my dad core phase right now. I've been really into, all this kind of stuff, and
Okay,
yeah,
that's
so.
fair. That's fair. All right. So this is a movie from 1958.
Okay.
And it stars Aldo Ray and Cliff Robinson. Robertson.
Okay, so Uncle Ben
Okay, but longer than Uncle
from
Ben.
the,
And
yeah.
it is based on a novel by Norman Mailer.
Oh, well, I don't instantly know it, so trying to think. I don't even have a guess. I'm not good with like the 50s movies,
All right, well, you'll have more choices the beginning of next week.
Okay.
Right. Okay, so it's called The Naked and the Dead.
Oh, never would have guessed that or gotten that, or I
It's
don't even think I've heard of that.
yeah, and it's here, I'll give the IMDb synopsis of it. Set during the Pacific War against the Japanese, this World War II drama discerns between achieving one's mission at any cost versus preserving the lives under one's command and enforcing discipline through fear as opposed to mutual respect. I actually saw it for the first time a few years ago, and I loved it. I thought it was a
Oh.
great movie. And now that we're talking about it, it makes me want to watch it again to remind myself of how good it was.
Right.
But we'll have to wait for that. All right. So, Travis, would you like to tell everyone where they can find Travis Bow?
Yeah, so I host Real Comic Heroes and A Minute of Thieves. You can search both of those over on Real Comic Heroes. I talk about comic book movies primarily, with some other, genres mixed in. Minute of Thieves is my movie by minute show where I talk about Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, 1 minute at a time.
All right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. So, everyone, have a great weekend. Travis decided he's going to spend the weekend here. And we'll be back on Monday. We'll continue talking about Band of Brothers. So, until Monday, Curry!
Karahi.